Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here it is, the 9th of November. That's another five-show month.
Oh, it is?
Yep.
How does everybody get so lucky to have us five times in a month?
Yeah. It's unbelievable. Astonishing.
So I just left a bourbon, steak, and cigar evening. And they told me that 6:30 we're going to start serving appetizers. And 7 o'clock was promptly we're going to sit down and have dinner. I'm like, okay, I could make it back to the office and to the studio, get it all done before I left, get it all like prepped up just so I could sit down, slide in, and push the button and go. Well, of course, that 7 o'clock sharp never really occurred.
Yeah, this is standard.
I'm like, it's 7:30. So the chef calls me over. He's like, hey.
7:30.
It's like 7:30. It was just half hour late. But anyway, so it was very nice. Three types of steak. Actually, we had a, he made a, what did he make? It was kind of some kind of chuck roast, but he sous vide it for 24 hours. It was delicious. Surprisingly delicious. And there was a flat iron, and there was also a picanha. So three different stations for that, and all sorts of sides, and bourbons, and Manhattans, and smoky Manhattans. And then I have no idea what they had for cigars, but they had some good desserts. I had a skedaddle.
You're talking in riddles.
What do you mean? You know all this food.
I don't know what a skedaddle is. Is that some sort of a pie?
No, I had a skedaddle. I had a, you know, that's.
Oh, I said, you said there's great desserts. I had a skedaddle.
That is true. That's what I said, but I should have paced it a little better. There was desserts. I had a chocolate bread pudding with caramel, and I had a pecan
that's
toffee
gotta be,
something.
Your heart must be very thankful.
I'm sweating. I'm sweating so bad right now. I'm sweating out the bacon, the one glass of bourbon I had, one snort of bourbon. Let's talk about some of the things that are going on because it's been a very eventful time.
Today's a whopper. Yeah.
There is no, you know, for a while it was a lull and all of a sudden it's like, there's a lot to talk about here. So stimulus, well, the big bill passed. Stocks were expecting this. We saw that it's going to be, what do you call it? Biden said it's going to be a stimulus weekend. So excited. So excited it finally passed exactly what they were looking for. Obviously, the bill changed dramatically, right?
Right. It's hard. It's impossible to keep track of it.
Yeah. Materials and infrastructure plays moved up. Marijuana stocks are starting to rally pretty significantly. It seems that there may be some discussion that there'll be a relaxation of the federal laws revolving around marijuana.
I was looking at this, and it seems as though, and I was looking at different people that are analyzing it, and it seems as though, nothing's going to happen. Harry Reid is not going to let anything go through the Senate.
He's still there?
Not Harry Reid, the new guy. They both look the same to me. They're both this kind of hangdog looking type person.
Are you talking about Mitch McConnell?
Yes, you're the one whose voice you do very well. Mitch McConnell says, no, it's not going to happen.
I would agree with that. Can't have that terrible thing. I mean, all we can have is alcohol because alcohol is totally different.
Well, it may be, who knows, at some point in the future, it's going to definitely happen, but not with Mitch McConnell.
Yeah. Looks like we have ourselves a good old money hydrant going on, government stimulus and free money. The Fed said they're going to be on the sideline for an extended period of time. It looks like no matter what happens with inflation, we saw some numbers out. And I think we're starting to enter into that euphoria phase of the market cycle where we're seeing like this fear of missing out into the close of the sessions.
Yeah, fear of missing out is a bad sign.
The FOMO starting to kind of wear. It's starting to wear. And I was saying this for the last few days for a couple of reasons. First of all, this little indicator that we built that you don't like, but it has its purpose.
I never said I don't like it, did I?
Yeah, you weren't really positive on it.
Oh, well, that could be.
It gives us a good indication, not that you can't know by looking, but it gives you a good indication of when things are when things are going to just, you know, turn over and when things are going to kind of start getting a little rocky. And we saw some of that, you know? And so what happened is that we see that there is, this kind of breakdown around the edges. After the close tonight, we saw a lot of stocks breaking down. The market's really running on Tesla as I see it. Everything Tesla does, the markets do. Tesla's a big part of it. And we got to talk about what he talked about.
Some sort of, yeah, Musk, what did he say that was?
He took a poll and he said that he's going to abide by the poll. Whatever the poll says, he'll do. And he said something about, there's a lot of undercurrent about unrealized capital gains.
He's all of a sudden become a stock market guy.
Yeah. And he's, maybe I should sell some things and because I'll pay the tax on it. Meanwhile, it was bogus, just like everything else. All showmanship. He has to sell stock because he needs to pay for a massive amount of taxes due to the fact that he's got options that are coming due from like 2012, I think it was, with a cost basis of like $6. And it's like $11 billion in taxes or something like that. So he had to do this anyway. So he's just making a mockery of all of us again. And everybody's like, oh, look what Elon's doing. Oh my gosh, let's vote. He'll do what we tell him. Oh, come on. So ridiculous.
Didn't he take a, was the poll about should he sell all his, or
10%.
I thought he said all of his Tesla stock.
No, should he sell 10% of his stock to pay taxes?
Oh.
And it was really more about the tax issue rather than the price of Tesla.
So this is his version of, geez, I could use some money right now. I'm going to sell 10% of the Tesla stock, but if I do that, it may send the wrong signal. So let me come up with some bogus story so nobody would think that I'm dumping Tesla stock.
Right. So it doesn't look like I really wanted to sell it. So it didn't look like that, I'm worried about the stock. It's Twitterverse who told me to do this.
And yeah, what a phony.
Yep, I promised them. But everybody believes in buying. Listen, you can't knock the guy. He's the richest guy in the United States.
No, I'm not going to say he's not the sharpest guy in the room, but it's just like, come on, he doesn't have to be a conniver.
Yeah, that's what he is. He's a carnival barker.
Yeah.
He's a modern-day Barnum.
And he gets a kick out of it, of humiliating the audience.
Of course.
The way I see it.
Oh, he's sitting back laughing the whole time. I'm certain of that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So up until yesterday, there was no stopping the bull train. It seemed that we had 8 sessions of the S&P 500 up in a row. NASDAQ just absolutely climbing this incredible, I guess the angle is what I'd call it. This angle that's almost vertical.
Did you see the charts on shadow stats of the money supply?
Straight up. Like,
when did that? It just all of us, as soon as Biden got in, the money supply just went right through the roof.
Well, I think it was a little bit before Biden, too. It was also with all the stimulus that was being pumped in.
Maybe
it was the first round of stimulus.
Yeah, but it doesn't account for the thing where it is now.
Well, yeah, now it's just the continual pumping of money in from the Fed and the fact that loans are out there. I mean, I'm hearing, there's companies like the major builders, you know the names, right? All the different builders out there that you go and you buy a house and you want it built. And usually what happens is you go there and say, okay, I like that model, base price, $295,000. I want to pull in, add $50,000. I want to extend this. I want to do that. Okay, by the time you're done, you add it all up. You say, okay, it's a $389,000 house, right? And you go, okay, I'm good. And then somewhere along the way, you may change a few things, whatever, but you know what your price is going into it. You deal with it on the price sheets of the builder. There's another thing going on where the housing market is hot. Builders are allowing individuals to bid against each other for a new build.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, it's going on.
That's not a very endearing quality.
But they're letting it happen because there's just so much demand. How do you sell it to this guy? And this guy's going to pay me $389 for the house. But the other guy says, you know what? I'll do the same house for $412. So they went out. They let the people battle it out.
Yeah, this is kind of stems from the jacking up or overbidding on prices of houses.
Yeah, and, sure. What Zillow areas. Did. Yep, absolutely. We're seeing a nice increase in hirings on the economic front. We're seeing CPI and PPI being released this week. PPI, which is the producer's price index. Holy cow. We got some numbers to share tonight. We'll get down to that in a minute. Light week with just initial claims coming in. The SEC is looking into the idea of payment for order flow, the gamification. They say that, you know, hey, we're worried that some of the things that are going on in the markets right now, maybe because of the free, maybe because of the free commissions or the free trading with no commissions.
Could be.
I mean, people would much more readily buy something and sell something if it was free than pay even $5, right?
Yeah, they would. Yeah, I think so.
So that's drawing a lot of people in the market that figure, listen, I technically have no risk.
Well, there's always some way of suckering the public at large into the market so they can so they can wipe them out.
Yeah, yeah, true. The sucker, like a giant vacuum cleaner sucking their money up, right?
That's what ends up happening.
The interesting thing is I know and understand enough about payment for order flow that I believe there is some interesting aspects. I also think it could be abused. And I think that when you look at a firm that is catering to new investors, novices, and on the retail side, it could be abused pretty significantly by doing markups that are just outside the edge, costing people a lot more. And there's no way for anybody to really tell unless you go through a massive accounting process
can't be done.
Kind of a forensic accounting of the trades.
Yeah.
And then there's always the what if. You know, he got this trade, it cost him 2 cents on this, but we betted him up. Well, what would it have cost him if he didn't do that? Well, we're not quite sure. We don't really have that trade data. That trade data is not available.
Yeah.
So coins. Ethereum hits a record $4,800 per coin.
Yeah, that's a reasonable deal.
Yeah, Bitcoin is 68,000. That's all new records. That's after China shut down the miners. That's after China shut down the use of Bitcoin and all other currencies, cryptocurrencies. And everybody was like, oh, that's going to be a problem. I thought it was going to be a problem too. I guess not.
Yeah.
Nobody cares.
Not yet.
Let's keep on building. Quick note, back to basic series on the Disciplined Investor podcast. This week we had a discussion about estate planning. Next week, we're going to have coming up end of year tax planning, ways to save funds and ETFs. So lots going on. We have a tax expert coming on, Dan Pila, on the Disciplined Investor. We're going to talk about the backdoor Roth IRA conversions, which appear to survive the current bill that was passed. And so no major changes. Kind of a good thing if you could do that. What do we got here? The SEC is on to GameStop. They said that online brokerage is enticed to increase revenue through the controversial industry practice of payment for order flow. Again, back to this, are turning stock trading into a game in order to encourage activity from retail investors. So the main regulator, the SEC, is saying they released a highly anticipated report on the GameStop mania. Won't you believe it? The 44-page report detailed how the trading frenzy went down and raised red flags on the number of issues, including back-end payments that brokers received, gamification of trading, as well as disclosures on short sales. But there's no blame to be laid and no action for anyone. Nobody is being censured. We know this happened. We see it happen, but okay. It's all good. Isn't that a big problem? Don't you think it's a big problem? There's no teeth anymore to anything?
Well, this has been that way for the five of the years we've been doing this show, or no longer. It started in 2008.
What you're talking about? What the payment for
the lack of teeth? Slack.
Total slack. Total slack. I don't really understand how we allow for this. I mean, I guess it's all in the name of money. It's like what happened during the lockdowns. Everybody said, you know what? You know, money first. We'll deal with the health issue after. And I know that there was some reasons for this or that. I'm just saying there's some people that just go into everything with the money in mind, right? And I guess that's what this is all about. It's all about just simply the money, which I'm a part of, I admit. But it still is kind of rather disgusting, don't you think?
I don't know what to make of it, to be honest about it. I don't know if I'm actually disgusted or not.
You don't know?
No.
You don't know. You mean you don't know if you're happy about it, disgusted, or just ambivalent?
I think I've been beaten back.
Oh, they've won.
Yeah.
They've won. With all the scrutiny you put on things, with all the pushback that you do, the curmudgeonly level of just cynicism that you have, you've been beaten.
Yeah.
I like it. Well, I think we've all been beaten. I think that's the whole point. You know, Ben Hunt, who we've had on my show before, very smart guy. He talks about the nudging state. Have we talked about this, you and I?
I don't remember it.
So it's a fascinating concept about the nudge, where he looks at various ways of training animals and of herding and doing things that are not a push, not a poke, and not a prod, but a nudge, giving kind of little bit of directions and almost making the party that's being nudged believe it's their decision to be made and that they are making these decisions. And he calls it the nudging state. He calls it nudging state because it's about the idea that the government and the powers and the various players are there just constantly nudging. And then it becomes accepted. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, I can see it.
The nudging state. All right, we've been on a borrowing binge. We know that's something also that's bringing its way and making its way into the money flow, money supply, the M2. Investment-grade companies, listen to these numbers. It's pretty, when I read this, I was shocked. I know the numbers are big, but I was really taken aback. But investment-grade companies, which are usually triple B plus in the category of ratings, and those in the small but riskier high yield or junk category, which is below investment grade, borrowed almost $2.3 trillion in the bond market in 2020, which was a 60% increase from a year before. And I think that probably, if we think about it, that made sense because there was a lot of need to bring in money because they lost a lot of money, right? They didn't have the revenue. So they need to keep themselves afloat. And yields were down, so why not take in some of this yield? And the Fed was buying bonds, so if you were junky, it didn't matter. You still got a good rate. Now, another $1.6 trillion was borrowed so far this year through September, which is pretty amazing. And bonds now account for the biggest slice of total corporate liabilities, which are followed by loans and short-term debt. Now, what's important to understand about that is that when we talk about bonds, you think, well, wait a minute, aren't bonds corporate debt? And isn't that loans? And what's the difference? Basically, what we're saying is longer-term bonds, not commercial paper, not overnight lending, not short-term deals, not the stuff that's going to roll within 6 months. So what they did essentially was, if you look at this chart that says corporate bonds, they basically, back in 2010, started to swap the bonds for the shorter-term debt when rates were very, very low. So now companies have much longer-dated debt, much higher level of debt, but it's at a lower interest rate. So maybe there was a time when they had 3-year bonds that they were issuing that were 3%, let's say. Well, now they could issue 30-year bonds at 3%. Why not? So the chart shows you the differential of the green, which is the move in bonds that spiked during the recession. You'll see that most times during recession is a spike in bonds because they bring down interest rates and companies love that. Companies love that. Long-term minded companies are like, hallelujah for a slowdown. They love the good times, but the bad times allow them to get out of a lot of the crap that happens to them. That makes sense?
I'm having trouble understanding this chart.
So the green are longer-term bonds. And think of the short-term debt and the loans as short-term debt. So what they did is they kind of, if you just take that mark of 2010 and look at that, you'll see that all of a sudden the shorter term debt started to disappear or go down in value.
Yeah.
Commensurate with the increase in bonds.
Yeah. The reason I'm having difficulty with this is where the green, solid green line begins in 1960, it looks like. It's pretty high. And then it goes down during the period of high inflation.
Mm-hmm.
And
Now, understand what you're looking at here. This is percent of total corporate liabilities, not a dollar amount.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's what I'm not getting. All right. Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, it totally makes sense that, you know, if I am, well, let's put it this way. It makes sense to think about if you had corporate, if you had credit card debt, it's 20% on the short-term side, and you can refinance it at 4% within a mortgage or at a longer term, maybe 30-year, why not do that?
Yeah, you would.
That's what's happening. So now the Fed has come out with a paper over the weekend, and there's a lot of different things in there, but they, from what I saw, some of the tidbits of the issues that they were raising, they seem to also, they're starting to cave in on the idea that, well, maybe inflation is not so transitory, or maybe it's stickier than they thought. They'll never give in and say they were wrong. You know that, right?
No, of course not. No. That's no good.
No good. Can't do that. So the Federal Reserve also warned that the fragility in China's commercial real estate sector could spread to the U.S. if it deteriorates dramatically. Now, one of the things that's interesting to note, we see this major sell-off across Chinese developers, their bonds, and you know, it even hit the high-quality borrowers. What's interesting to note is that the first Evergrande situation that happened, they kind of pasted over it, right? Kind of like whatever. They gave them 30 days. It's a 30-day grace period before they're in default. And now we're starting to see rolling countdowns for various bonds for all sorts of companies within the sector that were coming up on this 30-day window. And the question is, what's going to happen then? We're still not out of the woods on this whole deal. They got to buy.
Well, I don't see how that situation in China, although people said the same thing about 2007, 2008, in Europe, they would say, well, whatever's happening over there in the United States is going to affect us. When it turns out it affected them more. So I to say something like this may be completely wrong, which is, I don't see the type of speculation they're doing in China is not the same sort of speculation we do. And I've watched the real estate business in Hong Kong over the decades. And the way they run that up is a lot different than what we've ever done. I just don't see it affecting us personally.
Yeah. I think that the question about, you know, how much exposure do our banks have, for example, because that could be an issue. I think it's light from what I've seen, from what I've read, from what I've looked at in totality. You know, then again, you have to look at what are the kind of three or four steps removed. Are there banks, let's say, in Europe that have a big position that we also have a lot of debt outstanding with? You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, we don't know if there's some kind of 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon going on here.
Yeah, I know. That's always a possibility you have to, which is what the Europeans overlooked in 2008 crash.
Right. And then the other thing is that a slowdown, you know, if we see a material implosion in the Chinese economy, that cannot be good for us or anybody.
No, I mean, already because of the, you know, the backup of the cargo containers from China caused the dislocation in our economy already.
Mm-hmm. Right. So we talked about Tesla. I don't think there's anything else to talk about. Tesla is going to sell that. But there is some other things going on in the rumor mill. There was some kind of rumor, but then other talk about the Hertz situation, right? Hertz was going to do 100,000 car order from Tesla, and they got the deal done, and they're going to pay full price. And then there was cold water pulled on it by Musk. I saw the three Hertz guys. By the way, I am up to here. You can't see where it is, but up to here, okay? You can imagine, with CNBC. If I didn't know any better, people are paying to get on there.
It wouldn't surprise me because of the nature of today, modern advertising in the media, which is largely, at least a lot of it, a bigger portion that should be is native advertising. And native advertising could take the form of pay to play. So you pay to get on the shows. In fact, that's what it's kind of a known fact in those entertainment shows like E.T. and the Extra and all these other ones. It's all handled by PR people. And I think there's a lot of it is straight up money. You pay, you get so many minutes.
Well, you talk about that on your 3x3 on No Agenda, which I think you listen to on a Thursday and report on a Sunday.
Thursday, yeah. Yeah. No, Thursday.
Oh, Thursday and Thursday?
Thursday.
Yes. Yeah. Thursdays and Sundays. No Agenda. Of course, Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak. They talk about all sorts of news that's unfit and fit to discuss. But you talk about this, and it's fascinating because you picked up on, I think, ABC being the biggest, native advertiser inside of their quote-unquote news.
Whore is the word you were looking for.
The what?
Whore is the word you were looking for.
Yeah. So I watched the Hertz, the three people from Hertz, the CEO, and a couple of guys from some of the firms that have supported them. And they're doing a new IPO. Hertz went bankrupt. Hertz came out of bankruptcy. Now they're doing another massive secondary. They called it a secondary. They called it a new IPO. It was a secondary. And lots of shares. And everybody's like, oh, how exciting they're going to do that. And they were on there. And the people on the show asked specific questions. The news anchors asked specific questions of these people. They didn't answer one question. The same question was asked four or five times. They would not answer the question. Simple question. Simple question. And I tweeted, I was so annoyed by it. And the whole thing was this terrible, it was at least 10 minutes long, this interview. That's a long interview.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Hertz was down big time today on this news that it was going to be shareholders selling. So they tried to push this off as an IPO, some kind of a cool thing. They're going to bring in money because they're going to be expanding. It was shareholders. This stinks to high hell. It was shareholders selling. And they tried to wrap it like it was some kind of money raise for operations.
Oh, that's not. If it's going to shareholders selling, where's the money going?
Shareholders.
To operations.
I know. It was like, that's how it was billed. It's terrible. It's terrible. Anyway, we saw some other things. Advanced Micro Devices moving higher on rumors that Meta, or Facebook, will be using AMD chips in its data centers. Now, if they're going to be doing this metaverse, which we'll see. We'll see if they we'll see if they do it. We'll see whatever. But they are going to. We know one thing. Whether or not there's going to be acceptance, whether or not they can actually build it in the future, whether or not it's going to be cool, whether it's not going to have, it's going to have any life. The fact is, they're spending a lot of money on it. Would you agree with that?
Seems so.
Yeah.
I still don't see the difference between this and Second Life, personally.
Yeah, there's a few of these.
Yeah, they're all Second Life, a modern version.
Yeah. And
Second Life was a modern version of something else, but Second Life, it was a big, major event for people. And this is just a fancier version, seems to me.
I think that somehow, somewhere along the line, maybe Zuck was watching the movie Avatar and he got totally like, oh, I want to swing from trees and that hot animation with the tail. I want her, you know, I don't know.
It's possible.
Something weird going on.
It was
there.
A while ago. That's for sure. This show's pretty old. That movie's pretty old.
You got Ready Player One too. The same thing.
Yeah.
So, one thing we know, the metaverse will require a lot of computer power and there's going to be a lot of money spent on it, which is why I have two names on the game that were metaverse. And in our portfolios for our clients, we have four names. One of them being Facebook. One of them being NVIDIA. I'll give away another one before we get to the game that I invested in for clients yesterday before the earnings came out. The stock I've been tracking for a while called Roblox, which gives you the ability to actually build games on your own. And stock was up 40% today. That was a big win today.
Good.
Big win.
That's
today.
A winner. Yeah,
it's beautiful.
Good one.
After earnings. Anyway, I think there's a really good opportunity in this whole meta build. I'm still not buying it in terms of like head first. Yes, this is going to be the greatest thing. Last thing I want to do. What are we going to do? We're going to do aren't we in the metaverse? Just a second. Aren't we in the audio metaverse right now?
By some definition, I suppose so.
Yeah. So we're so advanced.
Way ahead of the game.
Way ahead of our time. All right, the Fed people are running for cover. Randall Quarles submitted his resignation Monday as a member of the Federal Reserve, effective the end of December. He served as the first vice chair for supervision, has been a member of the Board of Federal Reserve Board since 2017. As vice chair of supervision, he oversaw the supervision and regulation of financial firms in the board's jurisdiction. I wonder if he also was supervising some of this trading that went on and kind of backfired.
Probably was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, guys, I got an idea.
No one will know. I think that leaves open the potential for three board members for Biden to fill. So you got to think he's going to go dovish, free money, because he's gone far to the left.
Oh, he's gone far to the left, and he is probably on insofar as the modern monetary theory is concerned, looking at the M2 chart.
Yeah.
Which I recommend people go look at. This is out of control. If this MMT doesn't work, we're screwed.
Yeah. You know, I got accused of, let's think, somebody said that they were mad at me because I was spewing all this conservative theory. You know, remember just a couple of years ago, everybody was all mad at me saying I was a liberal. Can't make up their minds.
Yeah, I was one of those.
Yeah, you are. You were corrected. Mm-hmm. You were corrected. It's because I got the shot. Everybody's all upset. I got the shot. Harold's got the shot. And I still have not gotten the, and I'm not getting the booster. There you go.
Yeah.
Will it ever end? The travel company Expedia has stopped selling holidays, vacations that include performances by captive dolphins and whales. So if you want to go to SeaWorld or somewhere else, you can't book it through Expedia.
Yeah. You know, I got to see, there used to be a SeaWorld out here in Redwood City called SeaWorld or Africa, USA, something. So I forget the whole name of the thing, but it went to become a Six Flags someplace else or moved, but they had this, they had the world's biggest orca.
Uh-huh.
This thing was the size of the tank. They let it go. They eventually took it out to sea and let it go. This thing was the biggest animal you can imagine. And it would jump out of the tank, and it's like probably 10 times bigger than any orca you've ever seen. It would jump out of the tank and then come splashing down, and it would take out the entire
right,
audience
right.
with a tidal wave.
Uh-huh.
And you know, I realized, and I've seen some of these other animal acts and the dolphins and the porpoises and all the different things. This is all gone. They won't have anything at the circus anymore. The elephants are through. It's just that era is over. And I have to say that it was damn interesting to see this animal, this monster, at least once in my life.
Well, you know, just a side note, I've been kind of pretty wondering about this whole issue with regard to, you know, what's going on with, and why do we have to have this daylight savings time thing, right? Could you give us a background on that? Because I need to fix something in the background, because our chat system requires an open and close, and it doesn't automatically adjust for daylight savings time. And I need to now fix that.
Oh,
can you tell us about a little bit about the history of that?
I don't know the history of it that well, but I do know that it happened. It went into full force during World War II, when it was determined that you could get some extra work out of the public by saving daylight, by moving the hours around a little bit and getting people you'd get more daylight for people to get more production. It was it was based on increased productivity for both farmers and war workers.
Mm.
That was the rationale that I know of.
I read something about it was about the oil lamps. And Ben Franklin.
Well, since it had to do with daylight, I probably did have something. But there, mid-30s, there was plenty of electricity and oil.
Yeah. I think I fixed this. So, let's see. Let's see if I fixed it.
So why the thing with the chat room won't turn on?
There we go. It's back. The chat room, was closed down, so now it's back open.
Hello, chat room.
Yeah, so I don't know if they'll come back. So
nobody's back.
Yeah, there we go. Everybody's back. Yep. It blew out at 20 after. Okay. Yeah, everybody's back.
I'm going to research daylight savings time.
Yeah, you should. I think
I used to have, I had a collection. I have no idea where it is on the audio tape. Cause a friend of mine was a major record collector and he had a bunch of these transcriptions, the big discs of all these celebrities in the, during the depression that would come on all the famous comics and actors. Daylight saving times is a bad idea. And they would go on and bitch and moan about it. It was fascinating. And I just wish I could find these tapes.
Yeah. I mean, somebody's going to call it's a comedy plan. Joe Biden created it to ruin us. No. But I think seriously, I think that the time is over for this thing. I'm done with this.
Yeah. A lot of people feel the way you do.
There's no reason for it. It's ridiculous.
Should it be daylight savings all year round or should it be standard time all year round? There's your problem. No one will ever resolve that.
Well, I'd like to stay lighter later. I don't care about the mornings. It'd be dark.
So you'd rather have daylight savings all year round. Mm-hmm.
Right. Cause we're on standard time now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So now it's just, it gets dark at 5:30. Who needs that?
It's 5:05 here.
Stupidest thing. So 5:05. Stupid. All right. Let's see here. China update. Some economic data is getting better. That's good. Overhang for developers. Okay. Missed payments. Inflation. The fight continues. The lines are drawn. Those in the inflation camp and those that are not. There are people now that are trying desperately to prove to you, it's transitory. It's temporary. It's not even there. We don't see this. It's normal. You know, it's just going to be for this or that. But I don't know. Don't we think that all inflation is transitory? Doesn't.
It comes and goes. You're right.
Wasn't the 1980s.
What we haven't had for a long time is true deflation.
We had that back in. Didn't we have that back in 08, 9? No, 9, 10?
Well, it was a momentary thing.
You don't want that.
No, of course not.
The problem is that is much more palatable, but it's horrible for the overall economy. Personally, it's not a big deal because I spend less money. The problem with this is that, you know...
I've always pointed this out. I've written about this. And the thing is that the most vibrant sector of the economy is a deflationary sector, tech.
Yeah, correct. It's Moore's Law, right?
Everything pretty much. So everything gets cheaper or gets faster or gets better for the same amount of money. And it thrives. So maybe a deflationary system, if you could put it together, make it work that way, it would thrive. Mm. I mean, just weird to me that that sector thrives.
I just think the whole idea of everybody's going in on this, the going all in on the transitory thing is just such a hollow kind of narrative because, you know, we know things are costing more. Ritz crackers and candy.
You know, gasoline here is in California, in my area.
What, $5?
$5.15.
Yeah, $5.15. It's $3.80 here. We're seeing a 7% across the board increase by Mondelez in 2022 on the food items.
Yeah, everything is more noticeable.
And here's the other problem. If we have inflation... And the idea that if it's this transitory process and everybody thinks that, oh, it's just going to go back to what the prices were before. No. If it was to be that, we'd have to have deflation to bring us down the prices back down, right?
Yes.
And the Fed won't allow that for 1 second.
Nope.
So there's no way. Your prices are your prices. Good luck.
Yeah, whatever they are. And then when's the last time you've seen prices go down for anything?
Nah, I went shopping for a tuxedo the other day. First of all, can't get it.
Well,
can't get
hoity-toity.
It.
Hoity-toity.
Can't get it.
Can't get a tuxedo?
Nope. I went to two different places. Nope. I'm like, listen, I'd like to order this. I'm sorry, that'll be 3 months.
Go to a tailor and get it about the same price.
I got to get it made. Exactly.
You know, you should go just take it. Anyway, no one wants to fly to Korea, but that's a good place.
Yeah, you can't get in there right now. Anyway, we have some other inflation information over a year-over-year basis. The index of final demand for wholesale items, you know, final demand was up 8.6%, unchanged for September, which is the largest advance since the first calculated back in 2010. The index for final demand, less foods and energy was up 6.8%. Also unchanged from September, so it's just as high. In other words, not so transitory. So that's a big problem.
Well, maybe we're at the beginning of an inflationary period.
Maybe. We have some stuff out of the oil markets. King Salman, and that's not the king salmon that you eat, but his name is King Salman, said on Sunday that Saudi Arabia will continually support the stability and balance of oil markets and also backs efforts to supply clean energy to the world. Then this week, OPEC raises prices on oil. It's crazy.
We were oil independent until a year ago, and now what happened?
It's like, what happened? What did happen with that?
They just cut to, they just stacks of these executive orders that Biden was fed. He didn't even read them. He just signs everything, and it's just screwed up everything. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't. He's shut down at least one pipeline. He's shutting down another. It's one thing after another. They're just trying to gouge the public.
I don't even know what the purpose of it is. It seems to me illogical that we'd want to be in this situation where, once again, Saudi Arabia is doing things, even increasing, even though the actual demand's not there. It's horrifying.
Yeah.
And we're letting them do that. Yeah. Again.
Or encouraging it by policy.
UPS came out with a better-than-expected quarterly earnings report on Tuesday. Strong e-commerce demand allowed them, the delivery firm, to, of course, raise shipping prices and cherry-pick more profitable customers. That's the other thing that goes on. I had a situation that they did with Salesforce. I wrote a ticket. I had an issue Monday with RingCentral. I wrote a ticket. I had an issue with, it was four different providers on different minor issues that I just sent in tickets. None of them were answered for days. Days.
Yeah. Customer service is gone.
So I gave it to somebody in my office and said, listen, do me a favor, follow up on this. Keep a track of it. Figure out where it is. Figure out what's happening with this. Finally got resolved for the most part, but it took days. And then it was, I don't know if it was closed. It's crazy. Crazy. But they're raising prices. They're going to be cherry picking customers on UPS. That's probably happening across industries across the board. Revenue for the UPS's U.S. operations, its biggest segment, rose 7.4% to $14.21
billion.
Yep. Berkshire came out with earnings, reported operating income of $6.4 billion in the third quarter, raising it by about 18% in the same quarter year over year. Some other things were a little bit slower. Of course, Buffett was stressing that investors shouldn't put much emphasis on the quarterly change of his investment gains or losses, because there was a bunch of losses in there. So, yep. Metaverse. Facebook plans to hire 10,000 people in Eastern Europe over the next 5 years.
What are they going to do?
I don't know, Eastern Europe. I don't know what that's about. Oh, no, excuse me, in the European Union. I don't know where I saw Eastern Europe.
Or are they going to do?
It's got to be coders. Well, I mean, they're going to be in the metaverse, so they can't do anything. They're not like actors. So the company will launch a new virtual reality remote work app where users of the company can use the Oculus Quest 2 headset and can hold meetings as avatar versions of themselves. Does that sound like fun to you or something? Anything?
Well, it depends on how much you like meetings. But if you can imagine having these kinds of a meeting that's supposed to be like serious, and one person looks like a chicken, another one looks like a big rat, and then you have all these people sitting around the table with
all that'd be great. Know, oh, that'd be great.
Can you
great.
Imagine it yakking away?
Oh, that'd and be you can so prob- great.
I mean, it's bad enough.
I don't understand. I just don't understand. This seems like from the mind of a recluse. Doesn't it seem a little weird that we're going so heavily into this?
He is something of a recluse. He's right. an autistic, obviously, genius. And you never know. I mean, it's possible that he's onto something, but no one else has been able to accomplish this. I take that back. His Second Life was very popular.
This is The Matrix and Ready Player One combined. This is The Matrix.
It was something. Yeah, maybe.
So the other thing is going
to interest me. You know, I had an experience with the Oculus system when it was. From one of the developers who was developing it.
What happened?
And she let me wear some of the glasses and there were some recordings on there. So it's pretty fascinating to look around and you're in some other room and you're not there. And then you feel like you're in the room, but if you take one step, you bump into something that's outside. And you take these things off and you're disoriented for a good 5 minutes. It's a very strange phenomenon.
The Oculus 2 was built for gaming and for virtual sex. Don't you think?
Maybe, but
porn.
You know,
I mean, that's what the computers were created for to begin with, it seems like.
Well, I would think you do some, yeah, definitely have some dynamite porn, but I don't know.
So there's more Meta in the NFT world. This is why there's all kind of colliding right now. Latest in fashion is not made with threads and textiles, but with pixels and programs. Digital fashions makes everything traditional fashion does. Shirts and dresses, pants, hats, shoes. You know, maybe I should go get a virtual goddamn tuxedo. Now that I think about it. But none of it is tan. So yeah, maybe I'll go to these two charity events that I have. I'll go virtually. But customers are wearing digital clothing through augmented reality and digitally altered photos. So this is a big thing that's happening is buying wardrobes through NFTs. So you can have them, I guess, build a closet or something. So you can.
Oh, just dumb.
I just don't understand any of it. Boeing is in a healing process. Currently, and former company directors have reached a $237 million settlement with shareholders to settle a lawsuit over the safety oversight of the 737 MAX. So that's kind of interesting. The proposed settlement, which is being filed in Delaware, will require the election of an additional board of directors and aviation safety oversight expertise with expertise and a creation of an ombudsman program. What is that? I have no idea.
Ombudsman.
That looks like, something you'd know.
It is, actually.
Yeah.
A lot of the newspapers used to have ombudsman. Ombudsman is a guy who is a neutral player. He gets paid by the company to be there. Nobody can tell him what to do. And he takes in all the complaints, the real ones. And then he makes a fuss. And he gets action because he's the ombudsman. It's a funny job. People should look it up. It used to be more popular than it is now. I haven't heard of any ombudsman jobs for probably 15, 20 years.
It's kind of like the, what's it called now? It's called the Mashkiach. The Mashkiach.
Yeah.
It's in the Jewish tradition. You have a big
that's probably exactly the same.
Yeah, it's a Jewish ombudsman. Basically, the Mashkiach goes to the party, goes to dinners, goes to events that are kosher, and oversees the entire event from where they get the food from, how they're manufacturing, you know, how they're putting it together, how they're cooking.
Yeah, the ombudsman doesn't have that. Doesn't do that. He's not. I could be wrong because I haven't talked about ombudsmans for 20 years, like I said. Typically, the ombudsman is not proactive.
It's just
that Jewish guy sounds like he is.
Yeah, well, because he's, you know, first of all, they're always sweaty and big. Okay. And they're always, you know, I don't know about you, but I have certain things I do at parties. Like, for example, if I'm at a wedding and I'm at one side of the room and I see there's a lot of lamb chops being passed around, I make my way closer to where I see they're exiting the kitchen to grab a lamb chop.
Oh, I thought lamb chop was code for something.
No.
It's actually a lamb chop.
Yeah, lamb chop. A real lamb chop. Point is, this guy is standing there whenever the food is coming out, and he takes something off of every plate to taste.
Oh, that's a different job altogether. That sounds like a funny job to have.
Yeah, Mashkiach.
Yeah, he's like the official food taster.
Exactly. Crazy. Space travel update. You probably don't want to know about this. I think didn't you buy a ticket? Did you buy a ticket on the Virgin Galactic or the SpaceX?
You know, I felt that it wasn't worth mortgaging my home.
Mm. Virgin Galactic has sold 700 tickets so far.
Yeah, what, quarter of a million?
Well, I think originally it was a quarter of a million, and since August they sold 100 tickets more for over 450 each.
That seems high.
People want to go up, and it's a 3-minute ride.
Go up and come down. It seems when that Oculus thing starts working, you'll be able to do it for $5.
Right. And they'll put you in some kind of simulator, right?
Same trip. Yeah. We do one of those little shaking devices. So you think you're doing something.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, just to let you know, John, that this is the time we mentioned that, of course, people can be good ombudsmans, ombudspersons, and help by donating to the show. That's how you can be an we'll call yourself an ombudsman by donating. Put that in the little text, as a matter of fact, a little text box. Go over to DH Unplugged and help out the show, help out with the things that we buy, the things that we do, the costs involved each and every week. Thank you for all the people who have donated in the past. That's very nice of you. So keep it coming. Thank you so much. Got two more pieces here. So, you know, you're still really in California over the whole Alec Baldwin situation with him shooting somebody on the set of Rust.
Yeah.
So now with promoting his upcoming movie Red Notice, Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, told Variety that he's no longer allowing real guns on the set of any of his Seven Bucks film productions after the fatal shooting of somebody on the
loose. Yeah, because the guns have always, they've had thousands, millions of guns have gone through the process. A billion shots have been fired. But now Dwayne Johnson has the virtue signal. That's very, very cool.
Mm-hmm. He's going to switch over to rubber guns. I don't know why they can't do that to begin with, but that's another story.
Well, pointing a floppy rubber gun at somebody and going, pew, 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 I shot you. It's not going to really
I don't think it's going to be one of those floppy guns where the front of it's so long that it just starts bending over. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what it's going to be. That's what he's talking about.
Ah, gotcha. I think it's going to be a lookalike. It's going to be a plastic gun or something like that. Ah, whatever. You know, I don't know what the point is using real guns anyway if they can make it look, you know, pretty good. So.
Yeah, well, you can do a CGI, I suppose.
Yeah. At least 18.
But, you know, the other thing, the problem is with that, I have to say this. Wow. You know, these are actors and, you know, and yeah, they can pretend that they shot a gun. But until they actually shoot a gun, the reaction is never going to be the same as shooting a gun, especially somebody shoots a gun for the first time.
Yeah, but some of these actors, I saw a movie yesterday. The guy shot a handgun like 75 times without...
I've seen that.
I'm like, what? Yes. What's happening here? How is that possible?
I'm counting. I'm counting six. No, it's not a revolver. It looks like, oh, okay, well, I'll count to 11, 12. Wait a minute. Now he's up to 15 shots. What kind of a magazine has he got in this thing?
Yeah.
So 20 shots. Never changes the cartridge thing that holds the bullets.
Yep.
The clip. Never the changes clip. The clip.
Billionaires getting stimulus is a big news item right now. 18 billionaires got federal stimulus checks because if you have like zero income for some reason, maybe everything is owned inside of an IRA or something like that.
It just shows you the way this is going.
Yeah.
They've also changed the salt, you know. This is a thing that's overlooked. We had an accountant, that one of our No Agenda producers is an accountant that handles a lot of big money, big boys. He's got the big boys in Silicon Valley. He's famous. And he says that, you know, when Trump gave the tax, the tax break to the middle class, the Democrats all said, oh, this is for the rich. It's for the rich. All this guy did was all his clients kept calling him and said, where's my tax break? I'm rich. Where's my tax break?
Yep.
And they never got one because of SALT, the state and local taxes. Trump cut it to $10,000 and topped it off. So if you have a lot of property around the country or you have a lot of property, just your place, and it goes over $10,000 in write-offs, that it ends at $10,000. So they pumped it back up according to these new, they want to do the Build Back Better.
Well, but the issue back then was if you looked at the states that had state and local taxes in particular, and those states that were had people that were paying and benefiting from that, it was the quote unquote like New York's and California's.
California, yeah.
Right. Which it was all the blue states.
I live in California.
All blue states.
And they were blue states. It was, yeah, it was definitely burning them. But it really did make your taxes go up.
Yeah. You definitely paid more taxes. That's why a lot of people left New York even before COVID. That's why they came down here.
Yeah, but it's still. Mm-hmm. Property taxes are still an issue. Mm-hmm. And that's got nothing to do with the, you know, income tax. Yeah, the income tax is really a killer.
Yep. Roger Stone says he's going to be running for Florida governor if Ron DeSantis doesn't pledge to not run for president in 2024. He says, I believe that Governor DeSantis, assuming he's going to run for re-election, should pledge to the people of Florida that he'll fill all 4 years of his second term. What I don't want to see is for him to be re-elected, then immediately abandon Florida to run off and run for president, particularly if he's running against Donald Trump, which just gave a major plus sign, it seems, from Roger Stone about who would be the potential favorite or at least thorn in the side of Donald Trump if he decides to run again.
Well, I think DeSantis has the best opportunity to become president in 2024 above anyone else, including Trump. He's really played his cards right.
Yeah, so now Roger Stone is
gonna- And no one's going to vote for Roger Stone for anything. Come on. Well, they have Alec Baldwin running for governor in Florida.
Wasn't he convicted of something? Is he allowed to be? Oh, no, he was... Wait a minute.
Oh, felons can run.
No, he's not a felon, though. Wasn't he?
Well, even if he was a felon, he could run.
Oh, he can?
You can run as a you know, released murderer.
Mm. Well, good to know, I guess.
Vote.
Good to know.
Can't vote.
Good to know.
This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk, as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures.
So a couple things to mention here. Everything seems to be good. We had one thing kicked off, Avis budget, unfortunately, that you put on as a short. And I say unfortunately because it was down 14.8% today.
Yeah.
And the problem is that you got kicked off like 2 days ago.
Yeah, I know. Got burned.
So that's
got burned by the nature of the game.
Yep. But otherwise, things are looking good. Your oil play, which I was kind of surprised about, doing pretty well there. UPS up 21.99. We just heard the report on that, right? On UPS, mm-hmm. And hence doing well. Pretty much everything kind of cruising. SoFi is down a little bit from last week. Upstart, you see that one right there? That's short.
Yeah.
That is, it's down 20% overnight. Another 20%. Earnings came out tonight, and it's not good. They didn't like it. So that's good to know.
That was a good one.
Now I have a question for you. See that Roblox on there? See that right there?
Yeah, Roblox. Yeah.
How it's up 42% today?
Yeah.
So I put that on 2 days ago in preparation for the game.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm thinking maybe not.
Yeah, I'd say that you're probably better off not putting it on.
Yeah, see, I got the stars. I'm going to delete
But you that. Put it on there. You can brag about it. It was a good move.
Yeah, but I just don't think
it's a good thing.
It's late on this right now. We need a little bit of a kind of, maybe next week. We'll see what happens if it kind of consolidates.
I'm going to short.
Delete the row.
One stock.
Just insert something here. Hold on. Insert. Let me just get this set here. Okay, go ahead.
Live Nation.
Oh, really? Hate that company. It was LVY?
LYV, I think.
LYV, yeah. Let's see. Let me get it in here. I don't like them because I just don't like the company. I don't like him either.
I mean, I played him once before about 5 years ago on the game, and I went long when they were at a good price, and it went way up. And but this time, they're really high priced. They're going to get sued to death over this recent event that took place. They're the ones that are the main producers. The 8 dead in Houston. And I think they're overpriced even without that.
So is your thesis event lawsuits are overpriced?
Both. It's a combination of the double combo.
Overpriced and legal.
And law legal. Yeah, legal.
Legal.
And I don't see that the stock's been affected. I don't know why.
I think it was down for a minute.
Well, there's no reason for it to be this high. I mean, it's just unbelievable to me.
I will tell you, as a company, though, the reason I don't like them is the reason why they do so well is because they gouge the crap out of you.
Oh, yes, the gougers.
I mean, there was a slight move down on this, but, you know, in reaction to this news. The problem is I think the issue is that they go in and do things like buy out a theater. So I don't know if you know about this, but they go to a theater and say, you know what, we guarantee you we'll give you $1 million for the season or for this show. But we have to do all of your tickets. And if you've noticed, even if you go to the box office, you buy your stuff through Live Nation or some other Ticketmaster, and you pay the convenience charge, the service charge, the you know, the show charge, the theater charge, the offside booking charge, right?
Yeah, and the artist doesn't get any of that.
No, no, it's totally ridiculous. It's all about the bookings. I mean, I think Taylor Swift had a whole major issue about that, right?
Oh, yeah, and she's no slouch for, like, calling people out for getting ripped off.
Yeah. So I got two. I got Matterport, MTTR, which is a metaverse play. They actually do a lot of the designing of the metaverse. Let's call it that, like pictures and 3D imagery, MTTR. And I'm going to add Bakkt Holdings, BKKT. This is kind of a blockchain play in a way where you can, there's goods and it's like frequent flyer miles and things. There's a variety of things they do. But the point is a blockchain play for asset, for asset, holding assets and exchanging them. Mm. So just a little something that may be a little fun on the list. That's all I got.
All right, that's all I got is the one short.
All right, I will check in and I will talk to you next week.
Okay, will do. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, because I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.
Horowitz & Company, Inc. is registered as an investment advisor with the state of Florida and conducts business in other states where it is properly registered or is excluded from registration requirements. Registration does not imply any level of skill or training.